So it's good to see you all here. You've all braved the smoke and come out here.
Thank you.
To pay honor to Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva. It's wonderful. When I was preparing for this talk, I was thinking about what is Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva? We know of Avalokiteshvara or Kuan Yin Kanzeon as great compassion. We know of Manjusri as great wisdom, Samantabhadra as universal goodness or great loving kindness. So what is Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva? And before I continue, I'll do this, and I apologize, I forgot the opening verse. In fact, I'd like to do the opening verse because it relates to what I'm thinking about. The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So what is Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva? He is known as the Bodhisattva of the greatest vow and the king of vows. Because he has taken a vow, among other things, his vow is so vast in scope that it covers more than this, but one aspect of it is that he vows not to leave hell, not to achieve his own Buddhahood until all the hells are emptied. And that is just one aspect of his vow. He also has the power to rescue all beings in the six worlds. Hell is one of the six worlds, but there's also the heaven, where beings also need rescuing. The heavens, the world of the jealous gods, the asuras, the human world, the animal world, the hungry ghosts, and the hells. So those are the six worlds, and his vow encompasses helping all beings in all those six worlds. And he has the power to do that. The Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva scripture appeared in China at 600 or 700 of the current era. It's a little bit mysterious where it came from. You can look up books to find that kind of thing out. In Chinese, his name is Tsang. In Japanese, it's Jizo. In Korean, it's Chijang. And I'm going to mention here that I'll use the pronouns for he, him, and his, but not in the sense of any gender. It's beyond gender. It encompasses both genders and goes beyond even the both. So I'm using the pronouns he, him, and his for the sake of simplicity. It's hard enough to remember what I'm saying without having to remember, am I saying he or her this time? So, or she, he, or something like that. But please understand that it encompasses male, female, neither male nor female, but beyond both. Kishtigarbha's name means earth store, and the earth is associated with containing treasures, the minerals in the earth, the precious gems, the diamonds, the gold are the treasures. And he, the earth store, is the storehouse of the treasures of the earth. This also refers spiritually to all the beings who are the potential Buddhas and treasures that he is rescuing. If you look out at the statue behind the meditation hall across from the stupa, that is Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva, and he has stones at his feet. People offer them, that's a tradition. They offer the stones, and the stones are meant to help beings in the hell, meant to Jizo or Kishtigarbha is able to transform with his power those rough rocks into precious gems. which will aid the beings to be released from hell. It reminds me of something Reverend Master Jiyu used to talk about when she talked about this monastery as a rock tumbler. She used to talk about it like that. And does everyone know what a rock tumbler is? You put in very rough pieces of rock, and then a machine swirls this drum around and around and around. And when the rocks have tumbled around there and bumped into each other long enough, they come out as beautiful, smooth, polished stones. And likewise, Reverend Master Jiyu would say that in this monastery were all the rough rocks in the rock tumbler, and we're always bumping against each other and polishing each other up. We may not feel it's pleasant sometimes, but we bump against each other and polish each other. So, Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva is one of the major bodhisattvas, the bodhisattva of the greatest vow. Bodhi means awakening, and sattva means being. And in the sense of absolute truth and relative truth, bodhisattva with a big B is Kishtigarbha, Avalokiteshvara, Samantabhadra. And the bodhisattva with a small B is all of us, people who take the vow to practice the Dharma for the sake of all beings. And so what we have is the aspiration. Our vow to help all beings is an aspiration. The word vow always scared me because it had a kind of locked-in quality to it. So that if you took a vow, it was as if you were somehow locking yourself in to a tight space. It didn't seem to allow any freedom because you were making a promise never to do such and such or always to do such and such, which is really impossible in certain ways. And so I was always a little fearful of taking a vow because I thought it meant that when I broke the vow, I would be in big trouble. I would be going to hell myself, of course. I would be letting the Dharma down. I mean, that was the worst thought I would have. If I took a vow and broke it, I would be letting down the three treasures, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, my teacher, everyone else. So I always kind of backed off from the word vow for a long time. Something that helped me with that word, and I'll go into it a bit more later, but the Reverend Shohaku Okamura, who's a Soto Zen Japanese-American priest, I think he's now teaching in this country. He's in the Soto Zen tradition, but a different lineage, wrote a book called Living by Vow. And that book really helped me to deal with how I see a vow for myself. No longer as sort of a promise to do something that I really am not sure I'm able to do, but rather as an aspiration to turn toward the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and follow in their footsteps, and always to get back on the path, always to get back on the path, always to get back on the path. And the Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva litany and invocation that we sang today mentioned that he helps beings who stray from the path to get back on the path. One of the stories in the Kishtigarbha Sutra uses an example of Kishtigarbha as a friend to someone who starts off on a path, and perhaps it's a path that's full of snakes and tigers and all kinds of other beings that you don't want to encounter. And Kishtigarbha is like a friend who lets the person know that maybe they don't want to take that path, but here's the other path that they have a choice to take. That's very helpful to me. That's the path of the Dharma, of practice. Kishtigarbha has the power to rescue beings reborn in hells. And in the Kishtigarbha Sutra, it describes some of the hells, and one would think it would take a lot of power to rescue beings in those hells, because they're pretty awful and gruesome. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. I read it one evening before I went to bed, that section of the scripture that describes in graphic terms the nature of the hells and what goes on there. And I couldn't believe it. It put Stephen King to shame. But it takes power. And last night as I was lying in bed, I finished writing up this talk. I was quite satisfied with it. I thought it was a great talk, but I really wasn't. Something was niggling. And what happened was, I was lying in my bed and thinking, something's missing. And as I was just about to fall asleep, I realized the word came up, power. We hardly ever talk about that word in our practice, power. And I think it's taken on a little bit of a negative connotation sometimes. You say somebody's on a power trip when they're trying to manipulate and control people and circumstances. There's a saying of power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so power has kind of, in one term, in one way, kind of a negative side. Of course it does. It can be misused like anything else. Wealth, for example. Anything that we can name can be misused. So I leaped out of bed and got the dictionary to look up and see what power really means, And I wrote it on the back of this page. What it means is the ability to act or produce effect. Simple as that. It can also mean the source or means of supplying energy. Simple as that. It also has, it has a list of meanings this long, so if that includes trying to have control over situations, powers, having control, having authority, and so on. But simply put, the first meaning is that it's the ability to act or produce effect. So Kishtigarbha has the power to rescue beings who are reborn in the hells. All they have to do, according to what we sang this morning, is turn towards Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva. And there he is behind me. Turn towards Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva. It's said that Kishtigarbha takes immeasurable, innumerable, myriad transformations, and they all emanate from and return to the same source, the one Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva. In Japan, Kishtigarbha is known as Jizo and is quite popular there, and there are lots of roadside shrines, I understand. I've never been to the country, but it's a very popular bodhisattva there in Japan. And some of the myriad transformations that they've identified in Japan are Amagoi, the Jizo who asks the sky for rain. Amagoi Jizo asks the sky for rain. So we could think about that Jizo now and again. The Mayami Jizo, who restores eyesight. There's a Jizo who helps with dental problems. There's a Jizo who helps with pain. There's a Jizo who helps peasants working in the rice paddies. And there's a Jizo, another one that we could think of now, who protects houses and harvests from fire. Finally, as we learned during the ceremony today, there's Neko Jizo, the cat Jizo. So I'm going to invite us all, as I've been doing myself, to take a look at some of the images of Kishtigarbha that we can see right around us in this temple. First, outside the back of the monks' meditation hall there, across from Reverend Master Jiyu's stupa, there's a very large, strong, dark-colored Jizo with eyes wide open. And I happen to notice that The name of the coffee that we drank this morning was called Eyes Wide Open Coffee. And I thought, well, that describes the Kishtigarbha there at the back of the monk's meditation hall. Eyes are wide open if you look at them. They're wide open because Kishtigarbha is said to be fully engaged with life. There's the invocation that, Holy Jizo, you who care. Care can mean worry and woe, and it can also mean taking loving attention, paying loving attention. So this is the Kishtigarbha, paying loving attention to all of us, really, and caring about us so much that he refuses to achieve his own Buddhahood until all of us are rescued from suffering. That's caring, you know. So that image of Kishtigarbha outside the monk's meditation hall is the Kishtigarbha who walks resolutely with a ring staff in his right hand. That ring staff is supposed to be able to smash and shatter the doors to the hells so the beings can get out. It's also an instrument of protection. And, for example, when I go to the hermitage, I like to take one with me if I go walking outside the hermitage. I thump it on the ground and I rattle the six rings, which represent the six worlds, so that all the beings will know I'm coming, including the snakes and the mountain lions and the bears out there. So they'll know I'm coming and they'll know I mean them no harm. And they'll just be able to go their own way. The Kishtigarbha you see behind the meditation hall across from the stupa leads sentient beings away from the land of their misery and afflictions. He guides them across trackless wastes, deserts, murky swamps, and through darkness, delivers those with faith to the other shore, which is the cessation of suffering. And if those words sound familiar, it's because you've sung them a few minutes ago. If you look at that statue across from the stupa, there's the power in that statue to lead us all through the murky deserts, the swamps, all those places that are so tough to get through. You can see that if you will follow that Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva, he is able to lead you through all those places. Turn towards him. He's holding in his left hand a jewel, which is called the Cintamani, or wish-fulfilling jewel. And I mentioned before about a vow being an aspiration. An aspiration is a type of wish. We aspire to help all beings. The wish-fulfilling jewel is held by Kishtigarbha, and it's us who have to make the wish. So we can't just sit there and think we can let him do it all. We have to make the wish. We have to make the aspiration. There's another Kishtigarbha near the Vimalakirti Hall, quite different in appearance from the one across from the stupa. It's sitting in a shrine with a little roof over its head. It's light and bright, kind of the shape of a cloud in my seeing, adorned with gold and precious gems, also with a Cintamani jewel and a ring staff, I believe. This is an appearance, another transformation of Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva, which, as I see, would be very helpful to me if I were sitting in hell being torn apart by iron dogs. If I were to remember to turn toward that Bodhisattva, that appearance of the Bodhisattva, I would see great peace, great happiness, great joy. I would see the wish for all beings to be well. And that is the Kishtigarbha I might see if I was in hell. There are three or four stories in the Kishtigarbha Sutra of the origins of Kishtigarbha spiritually. He originated from the practices of human beings like you and me. And one of the human beings was actually a rich man's son who saw a Buddha, noticed the Buddha's excellent attributes and everything about the Buddha that was admirable, and said, how did you get this way? How can I be this way? And the Buddha instructed him that he needed to save suffering beings. And that rich man's son became Kishtagarbha Bodhisattva. There was also a girl who went down into hell to try to save her mother from being trapped in hell forever, who made numerous offerings, gave up everything she had, and was able, by the power of those offerings, to get into hell, and was able to help her mother be liberated from hell. So these are very ordinary human beings, like you and me, whose aspiration became Kishtagarbha Bodhisattva, to rescue all beings from suffering. If you look behind me on the altar, and I'm trying to see what I can cut out, not to go on too long, if you look behind me on the altar, you can see a bodhisattva with the power to rescue all beings suffering in the six worlds, a being of infinite loving kindness and wisdom. This bodhisattva uses skillful means to guide each one according to their need. That's the wisdom and the skillful means. And the eloquence mentioned in what we chanted today is that the bodhisattva speaks. To those who kill, he speaks of the retribution of untimely death. To those who steal, he speaks about the retribution of poverty and destitution. He tells us about the karmic consequences of our actions. He tells us that the reason for our suffering is based in our own actions, and that there's a remedy for this. Not to do those, you know, to refrain from doing those actions, and to do other kinds of actions that help beings. I'm more a person who prefers to respond to the carrot than the stick. So for me, my type of person, he would speak of the merit of doing even the smallest good deeds. And this would be that for any virtuous deed accomplished by a sentient being in the name of Buddha Dharma, even if it be as small as the tip of a strand of hair, a drop of water, one grain of sand, one mote of dust, or even one iota, I shall make use of it for his deliverance and liberation. So let that sink in for a minute. Even one act of good deed, as small as the tip of a hair. As you go about your daily life, you may dedicate the merit of all those good deeds so that you yourself and all beings together with you, because there's really no separation, will enjoy that merit and will be freed, liberated from suffering. This is very heartening to me. When I feed the cat, that's one of the actions that I've taken to be an act of good deed. Feeding an animal, taking care of an aging parent, taking care of children, good heavens, that's a bodhisattva. Taking care of even things, cleaning your room or cleaning the toilet or peeling a carrot, you know, anything that you do, small as it may be, this is the power that leads us to the liberation from suffering. This is the power for good, the power of loving kindness, the power of the aspiration to good, the power of the wish to help all beings. How do we do this? I just mentioned a few things that you can do in the course of your daily life. At the beginning of this talk, we all said together a verse, I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Whenever we say the daily verses that we say as we do our practice here in the monastery, and that you can do the same thing at home, we're taking a vow to help all living things, all beings. When we put on our kesa, which are these garments that we wear that represent the precepts, we put them on our head each morning for the benefit of all living things. We vow to do our practice. I wish to unfold the Buddha's teaching so I may help all living things. So if you've taken the precepts and you have a small kesa or a wagesa, you may do the same thing. You're taking a vow right then and there. When we take the precepts, those are certainly vows. Every 2 weeks here at the temple, we renew our vows. And that is because we continue to break them. We continue to break them. Not all the time, but we continue to fall prey to our habits. Habits are something that we picked up somewhere. There can be habits of thinking, habits of behavior, habits of speech. We pick them up somewhere, and now they kind of drive us through. No, we didn't maybe intend for that to happen, and somehow it happened. That's where the power of these vows comes in. It's strong enough by taking these vows. The forces that rage through the six worlds can be tamed. We can decide we can live by our vows rather than being pulled around by those habits, which are the consequences of our previous actions. When we take a vow, what it means is that we really resolve to take one more step. And taking a vow involves repentance, which is not guilt. Please, no guilt. Please, okay. Repentance means being willing to see one's mistakes and make the aspiration to do better. Always, always making the aspiration to do better. Even today, I made a lot of mistakes up in the loft today. I think I was a little nervous about giving this talk, perhaps. And, you know, I don't feel guilty about that, which is, if anyone knew me 20 years ago, they might find that surprising. Because 20 years ago, I might not have even made it through the ceremony. After making the first mistake, I'm afraid I might have slunk down the stairs and slunk out the back door. I mean, that's how prone I was to guilt and to feeling miserable because I wasn't perfect. However, no guilt, repentance. One sees one's actions and accepts the consequences. For me, that means no complaining. One of my favorite hobbies is complaining. And it's very good work for me each and every day to make the vow as I get up in the morning. I vow this day that I will do my best to refrain from complaining. It sounds pretty simple. But believe me, I can even complain about the number of times I catch myself complaining. And so, it isn't as simple as it seems. There's no guilt. When seeing one's shortcomings, those shortcomings are fuel. They give us that power I'm talking about, which is the power for the good. So I've talked about three of the images that we can see around the temple, and I want to just mention the fourth one. The fourth one is at the animal cemetery, which is out in the north woods behind the guest house. So here's where I tear up. Many good friends are buried out there. And when I see that bodhisattva, just as the Buddha entrusts Kishtagarbha Bodhisattva to take care of all the suffering sentient beings, so am I inspired to trust Kishtagarbha Bodhisattva to take care of all those dear friends. I don't have to worry. Just as Kishtagarbha reassures the Buddha, it isn't necessary to worry about these Buddha beings, dear Buddha. I will take care of them. Please don't worry. I will take care of them. When sentient beings are weak and vulnerable, needing protection from forces that rage through the six worlds, then Kishtagarbha covers them like a great tree, shielding them from lightning, thunder, wind, and rain. all creatures of the great oceans, the earth, and the sky, he showers with radiant loving kindness. Even a small act of good deed can contribute, can make the merit that takes care of these vulnerable beings. And I'll stop here because I'm a little bit teary. And I've gone on long enough. Thank you all so much for being here and listening. I invite you all, please, at your leisure when you're here visiting, to stop and reflect and sit with some of these images of Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva. That's how I've been preparing for today. And it's been of extreme help to me. Thank you.